There's another component to this, too, that I don't necessarily think that we're all looking at. But anything over $100,000 being put out by the tribal is supposed to be voted on by the membership. This is over $8 million. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it cannot move forward without a vote from the membership.
Right.
So how are you going to do this? You can't just push it through and throw in the budget and say we're borrowing this money to do this. You have to have the vote of the membership. And then when you're talking the toxins, yeah, the river's right there. Mm-hmm. But you also have AmeriCorps, TCCC, mm-hmm. right there. You have a housing area that's adjacent to it. You have an entire community that is right there around that. When you look at the old batch plant that was there, we found where the winds change on that river. About mm-hmm. 4 o'clock, they change. Mm-hmm. So you're nailed with whatever it is, and then the rest of the valley just comes up the river about 4 o'clock. So then we're all faced with whatever that is. So what is the air quality, and how is that going to reflect? Where are the EPAs on this? You know, we have a high rate of cancer within our entire surrounding communities, which I have my theories on that, but you know, is this going to add to those high rates of cancers? Is it going to add to the high rate of asthma? What is it going to do, and how is it going to affect us? And then our medical, are we going to be capable of sustaining that? People don't realize right now, I don't think, that all of our medical dollars are within the Affordable Care Act, the mm-hmm. Obamacare. So if the Obamacare is repealed, I was asking Eva the other day, are you guys looking at how or what's going to happen with this? And she said, you know, we're hoping for the best, but yes, all of our dollars are tied within the Affordable Care Act. And so if that's repealed by the Trump administration, what's going to happen to our medical facility? You know, mm-hmm. Indians are not the favorite of the current administration. Right. You can see with everyone he's putting in.
Right.
So we got to really brace for those impacts to sustain ourselves through this administration, however long this administration lasts. And try to figure out ways with the Affordable Care Act and how our dollars are tied in there. Now, I've been on the negotiations. Mm-hmm. I helped bring in, $10, $15 million or something in my short time that I was there for our medical. Mm-hmm. I know the negotiations that take place. But if the dollars are taken away, there are no good negotiations. So how are we going to sustain ourselves within that? And what are we going to do when we're looking at a medical facility that's millions and millions and millions of dollars? How are we going to do this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's the whole thing is when we bring stuff into the valley, you know, you got to realize the adverse health effects. What is it going to do to us? You mentioned the wind shift. It's usually 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Two?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, you're right. And on certain days, it's always not like clockwork the wind is. But, you know, that's the main thing is when we're bringing things in, you know, you got to look at everything as a whole, not just, you know, certain pieces of the pie. You know, your favorite parts, you know, because you got to look at it all. So basically, yeah, you know, and to me, is this the best that we've got have to offer our membership right now? You know, I mean, is there other, you know, business ventures out there that, you know, we can bring in or that people are willing to bring in? That's the key, is willing to bring in here. You know, you talked about the store and talk about all the other ones are like, whoa, you know, they're pumping their brakes before, you know, even wanted to even talk to us because they want to hear from Ray's, you know, on how they were, you know, like you said, the theft or how they were treated and stuff. And to me, you know, you're right. We should have worked out something with Ray's in a better manner. But like I said, you know, all of us pay the price in the end.
Well, and I think when you're looking at the dollars coming into us, at what point is a dollar worth our welfare? Mm-hmm. Again, you're looking at the culture, the spirituality. At what point is that mighty dollar worth more than our health and our lives here? And that has to be in the play in this, and it has to be in the mix. And I think that the council, whoever gets in, I've told people, vote for who you think is going to do the best. Vote for who you think will be strong. Don't vote on just a family tie. Vote for who can take us forward, who you think can lead us to a better tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And how are we going to make those changes? Because if we continue to vote within our family ties, we continue the same circle. And I'm hoping, and I'm very hopeful, that we'll start looking at it from a different approach. We got neighbors around us. If the three tribes here, just our three tribes, Hoopa, Yurok, and Karuk, are able to unite on everything, then we become the strongest tribe within
the nation.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and we'd be a powerhouse.
So. We would be a powerhouse because you have the largest tribal membership, which is Iraq at over 6,000 members. You have the largest land base, which is Hupa. And then you have Karuk that has the largest Aboriginal land base. Mm-hmm. We would become the powerhouse through this. When I was working on the rehab stuff, what I was trying to get was all of the tribes in Northern California come together, and it was working. I actually had it where it was starting to fall in place. And I know at the time my opponent was saying, well, it needs better planning. I've heard da-da-da.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was actually going on with it, but I was linking all of the tribes in Northern California to come together to create a rehab. I was meeting with officials in D.C. I was looking at the Obama Act that was coming forward to put $1.1 billion towards dealing with America's meth and heroin problem. The idea was for us to be a model role example of how a treatment facility from a Native perspective could actually work. Mm-hmm. IHS was looking at funding us for $26 million. You know, we just had to get our ducks in the row, and I was pushing for our ducks to get in the row. But we couldn't come just as the Hoopa Valley Nation to get that funding. We had to come as the block. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you look at federal agencies now, they're looking for the bigger bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. How can you actually do a larger take for helping people with the smaller dollar coming in? Mm-hmm. So you have to work together and you have to get along. So if we could get along with our neighbors and do some simple things, you know, we have one person that's downriver that IHS wants to put water to their house. It's a mile on our reservation downriver. We have people on council. No, don't want your rock coming on. And it's just like, it's an elder's house. IHS is doing that. They'll pay us to actually lay the line. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to put stops in when they're not needed. Mm-hmm. I think there are areas that we need to hold our ground to maintain our sovereignty, maintain ourselves. But we got to learn to work with everyone else around us.
See, and that's why we're breaking down. It's because just like that's a prime example. Well, you know, we have Iraq on Hoopa land, what mile in, or you know, and it's like seeing those things. And like you said, it's an elder. I agree, and it's an elder no matter where you're from, you know, and especially if she's Iraq, you know, she's been here for many years. Help her and help them out. But see, that also too that helps bond us, you know, to be like, well, look, you know, they're willing to help us out, and it's got to start somewhere, you know. And every time we do it, kind of drops off, but then you know that thinking and then that style, you know, of helping people. Helps people, you know, so.
Well, I think that's going to be coming in the generations to come because right now I have two nephews. They're mm-hmm. brothers. Mm-hmm. One's on the Iraq roll. One's on the Hoopa roll. Mm-hmm. Their mother's on the Karuk roll. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're all tied in our own families. And as our generations get past the old Jesse Short case stuff and the old arguments that had taken place, which before my generation, mm-hmm. but I still heard it.
Yeah.
You know, once we reach a point where we're past that, then we'll actually unite. And I think we'll have a really good product there. You can look at our school. Our school right now, the branch campus, it's Hoopa Iraq. Mm-hmm. You know, they've come together and they've worked things out and they've tied to a certain extent. They're maintaining their sovereignty, but they're making it work. And that has taken us farther by working together.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, too. Yeah, because, you know, my wife, same thing, half Yurok, half Hoopa. But, you know, and that's the whole thing. And to me, I got a lot of Yurok friends. I like to fish. You know, they like to fish. You know, we get together and we get in a boat here and, you know, we go do that and stuff. And it's not who we are, where we're, it's just friends, you know, or family getting along and doing something, you know, together. And that's the whole thing, you know, that you know, we need to preach is togetherness. And like I said, if we can get all three of our tribes together as one, we would be a powerhouse to reckon with. And that's not only for the dams, which we got to do that, but, you know, right now, as you said, this current administration that we have on the outside, you know, the president of the United States, yeah, is attacking minorities and stuff. And, you know, we need to brace and, you know, maybe something might not happen, but always prepare for the worst and expect the best. So, you know.
Well, I think another thing is with our elders. You know, I was taught to always respect our elders. Mm-hmm. One of the things I did when I was on council was I seen where we got the turkeys for the elders Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the reservation. I pushed to get money sent out to the elders off the reservation. At the time, I said, let's try to do maybe a prime rib for the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got pushback from a council member. Well, my family doesn't eat prime rib. We eat seafood.
Okay.
I'm like, that's not about you. You're younger than me.
Yeah.
It's about your elders. Okay, let's do a $50 check mm-hmm. to elders off the reservation and turkey, whatever. It didn't, you know, it was trying to make the equality. Well, that ended up being a $25 check when it came down to it. And it was like pulling teeth to get that $25 check sent out to the off-reservation membership. But to me, I don't care if you live upriver, downriver. I don't care if you live in L.A. or New York. If you're an elder that's a tribal member from here, we need to treat you the same.
Yes.
The push for the senior center, that was within my first year there. It was a major fight. It had been approved by numerous councils before I came on to have that facility built. No, we can't do it. We don't have money. Marge was on council with me, and there was a number of people that was on council. We came together as a body and said, do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's done. It was approved a long time ago. If we need to put in a motion for you to do it, it's going to be done.
Right.
We got that built, and that was within the 1 year we got it built. It was $1.6 million or somewhere thereabouts. But we achieved that because we as a council at that time period, we had our arguments internally, but we moved as a unit as best we could. We had fractionations with others outside, but we moved as a unit as best we could to do stuff, and we got that senior center built.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a really good thing, and it's the last building that we've had, isn't it, Joe?
Since, I believe so.
You know, but it was pulling teeth to get that done, and it was funded through funding that was coming in under the IHS dollars. And I still get nailed by the clink, hey, we want that money back from council. Like, the money comes in to benefit the community. It's not benefiting an entity. It comes in because we're a tribe. And we need to look at more projects like that. What can we do to build our community? We need a community center. My gosh, we got the Church of the Mountains down there that needs to be revamped. It needs the bathrooms. Have you been in the bathrooms? You can fall through that floor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Paint job. We need to start looking at those things within our community. The small fixes at the beginning, not looking at big buildings or what have you that we don't have money for. Small fixes that we can put money into and make something happen, make a change where our community looks like a community, looks like something that you're going to want to actually go and be comfortable in and be safe around, have that feeling of wanting to protect our community because it is who we are.
Okay. Had a great discussion here.
I feel like I should have had a pot of coffee here, Joe.
Well, I've run out of questions. Would you like to do some wrapping up?
Once again, I'd like to thank you for your time, for this time and for the last time when I ran or when we ran and stuff with the League of Women Voters there and stuff. And like I said, you know, we need more of this, you know, to get the people who listen to KID and stuff, more involved, maybe, call or have somebody call in, our callers call in next time and stuff with, additional questions. But to me, this is information sharing. This is how we, on some of our thought processes, Bradley's and myself and stuff, and how we think and stuff. But, we can both agree that we want to see our tribe go places, go up, not down, or not sit stagnant. So, and I think it's from all of us across the board, but we can have so much here. And I always tell people, we don't have to live like this. We can have it better. But you know what? We all got to work for it. And that's the main thing, is all of us got to work for it. And that's why I'm running for council, because I'm like everybody else, they're all, well, I'm sick of it. Well, I go, I'm too, but I want to make a difference in our community. And that's why I'm running, because I do care. I do love our valley. I'm very passionate about it. When we were talking about the environment, my interpretation of the environment is what we see. I see the trash along the river, or what are those little whippet things on the stick field, and stuff. And those are the things that make me angry. It's like, these places we are supposed to be holding so sacred, but yet they get so much abuse. And to me, growing up, those were our sacred sites. Not only here, I've been to other ones. What's that one? Natural Bridge, going to Wildwood. I don't know. That's a wind tune place over there. But if you've ever been there, that's a beautiful place to go. I highly encourage people to visit it. But it's another place, that is vandalized, swastikas and all that stuff. And that really makes me sick. So anytime I go there and I see that, I grab a piece of charcoal from the fire, a wood piece, and I just cover them all up. But to me, you know, our culture and our spiritual values and stuff, you know, begin, you know, starts there too, you know. Keep our places clean, you know. Don't do your drugs and stuff down there. Don't spin your donuts on the stick fields. Because to me, you know, if you want to spin your donuts on the, somewhere, go to the rodeo grounds where we used to do it. I used to do it, you know, but I would never go to the stick grounds and do that because to me, that's where, you know, our spiritual values are, our cultural, you know, our kids and stuff, you know. So don't, you know, I need to tell people, quit ruining our place, you know, or that we hold sacred.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Joe, I want to say thank you for having us. And Lester, I'm very appreciative that you showed up. When I was asking Joe tonight, I was like, who's coming? Because I don't want to be there by myself. I'm like, and he said, you're. I'm like, woohoo. Yeah. I'll have somebody to talk with. But thank you for having a forum. What I would like to say to the membership is it's up to you to vote. It's up to you to make the difference. My dad used to grump about who was elected, and I would tell him, hey, if you didn't vote, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's up to us as voting members to get out and vote. And we have a couple thousand votes that can be cast. We usually end up with 600 to 800 votes. So we have a very small percentage of people that are actually voting. If you want to change, vote. Don't vote for, hey, I'm related to this one or that one. Vote for who you think will be the best in there to take us forward and help us move forward. With all that said, I've always said this, and I've said this here a couple times, is for the next election coming up, for the kids, for the younger people, throw your name in the hat. Throw your name in to run because you can make a difference. It's up to us to make the difference. This is our community. It's our home. It's our community, and you can make the difference. So put your name in to run in the future, and the more names we have, the better qualified candidates we get. With that, who you choose to vote for, I commend you for getting out and voting. I think vote for who you think will be the best for this election to help bring us forward. In addition, remember as a tribal member, it's your right to know. It is your right to know what the audits say. It's your right to know what's going on with the departments. It's your right to know how much money we have. Go down to that tribal office and request a copy of the audit. Go down to that tribal office and request to know how much money we have in there or what's going on. If the information does not flow, go as a tribal member and put in a written request for it and stay on it until you get it because that's the only way you're going to get all the information out and educate yourself in what's going on. But definitely go down and get copies of the audits. The new one is out. Get the last couple of years so you can see what's going on. Look at how much money we have so you know as a member where we're at.
Okay. I'd like to thank you both for attending. And the invitation went out to everybody, and we did hear from a couple other people who would like to have their own time on the radio. And with that, you'd also be willing or able to have equal time, whatever they spent. This session was open to everyone. I'd like to thank you for the discussion. You guys kind of set a high bar here.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because it's getting this communication, these thoughts, these ideas, these values out that, you know, when we start listening to one another, it's all about listening.
Right.
And from that, we can gather more knowledge, more opinions, and hopefully we'll come together just like you guys are talking about. Everyone's going to come together and say, I think that too. Or I don't think that. Well, okay, let's hear what you say. Maybe we'll change your minds.
Right.
That's all possible. We don't know until you sit here at the table and let's have a talk about it. So one thing I love about radio is that we can talk and we operate 24/7. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's these times that we have these discussions on candidates' forums and that more people get involved and listen to it. And so I thank you both for being here. I've been talking with Lester White Jr. and Bradley Marshall, who are candidates for the Bald Hills District. The election date is, what is that?
It's
going to the 21st of March. So all of the candidates here who aren't here still have the opportunity to have yet another program scheduled at time. 530-625-4245 is our phone number. Let's schedule a time and get you on the air and hear what you have to say. You're welcome to that. I'd like to thank, we had two people on staff who are engineering. We had starting out, we had Christian Marshall, and right now we have Tashana Moon, who have been our engineers for this segment. And thank you very much for hanging in here for today. It's made us a long day for us. At, hey, that's what we do.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies. Greatly appreciated.
Yes, thank you. And Joe, I do have a question for you.
Oh, table's turned.
How many years have you been in operation here? Because I think it's an incredibly long time.
We've been operating for 36 years.
36 years. And were you the first tribally owned radio station to come into existence?
No, within
the
state? In California.
Within the state,
Yes, California. Yes.
And that was, again, how many years?
36 years.
36 years. Congratulations on that. That's a huge endeavor. And again, I think that points to the Hoopa tribe being at the forefront of a lot of things. And it was your generation, I think, that has really taken us forward. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that. And with that, I would bring this session of the Tribal Campaign 2017 to a close. And I'd like to thank you for listening. This is Joseph Orozco for KIDE Hoopa.